This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear. If you ain't listening, you ain't here.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Thray's Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be. As a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO. That's WDTTPROMO for 15% off anything on the website at Uhler'sArchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got one third of the new Jack Archers back on, Mr. Dreaded Archer himself. He just got back from the Oklahoma TAC with him and his brother. I'm going to have him hop on and talk about that. And new Jack, we got some things coming down the pipeline, so I wanted to get him on my podcast to talk a little bit about it. It's going to be an epic event. It's one of one. Nobody's ever done it before.
Never.
never, ever, ever. It's going to be super dope. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what up, Trey?
Oh, man, not much, man. Just kicking in with the fam for Easter. Had all the nieces over at the house, Easter egg hunting, and then going over to mom's house and having dinner. And like always, she cooked too much, man. Way too much food. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I know how it goes. We went to my auntie's house earlier to eat because my mama can't cook. I love you, mama, but my mama can't boil water.
Oh no.
So how my you mama the wig? Was,
yeah, it took a lot of protein to feed them.
My dad cooked. My dad was the cook, and then my aunties and uncles cooked. Right? So you know how black families is Sunday dinner. You know, during the week, pops would cook whatever. Then I found out what I liked because I was a real picky eater growing up. So I figured out what I liked. I just ate a lot of it. So
yeah.
Man, my mama was the youngest of 10, man. So,
also, she didn't have any
cooking. No, she was younger, so she wanted to learn how to cook, and they told her to get out of the kitchen, go play. So, when all her sisters and stuff got married, you know, she was the last girl at the house and wanted to learn how to cook. They just told her to go outside and go play. So, that's why she don't know how to cook.
Well, I mean, that's a good excuse. That's a good excuse. Man, I know growing up, man, we do Sunday dinner, and that was like, I always look forward to Sunday because that was like when all my cousins, aunties, uncles, everybody come over. And growing up, I lived with my great grandma, me and my mom did. And she'd wake up in the morning, Big Mama, yes, sir. Well, no, we had Big Mama. So her mama was still alive when I was like 5. So we had Big Mama, and then she's my grandma. But technically, she's my great grandma, but I just called her grandma because everybody around me called her grandma. And then my mom's mom is my granny. But my grandma, her name was Nuh. And man, she'd get up on Sunday and she'd make homemade biscuits, sugar syrup, and tea cakes. And man, she started making that sugar syrup, and it was like that smell would go out through the neighborhood. And next thing you know, man, cars pulling up, people coming, get a biscuit, get some sugar syrup, sit and talk. Then boom, they go to church. Then after church, she had this big old cast iron skillet, and she'd do fried chicken, candy yams, collard greens, black eyed peas, hot water cornbread. You know what that is?
Yes, sir. I'm from the South.
Sometimes I say hot water cornbread, and folks like, "What the hell are you talking about?" So yeah, hot water cornbread, tea cakes, German chocolate cake. I mean, this was every single Sunday. And man, we just and the only thing is, I only ate the chicken and the yams. I don't eat because I never eat greens. I don't eat black eyed peas. I don't eat all that other stuff. So me, just the chicken. Every once in a while, mashed potatoes, hot water cornbread, candy yams. That's it.
Yeah, I didn't used to eat none of that when I was a kid because I didn't know what it was. Because man, like back then, if you look, like. Everybody that ate all that stuff always ended up with like high blood pressure. They'd have a heart attack. They'd have all these cholesterol problems. I mean, I ain't eating all that, but as I got older, I developed a taste for it. You know what I'm saying? Like all that stuff. But
see, ain't nothing wrong with it every once in a while. See, it's every once in a while food. And then like my little brother, I don't know where he learned it from, but he'd be like, "Man, that's slave food. I ain't eating that." Like, he wouldn't eat it. Like, he bro, wouldn't like, eat it. No, chitlins, pig feet, pig ears, neck bones, all that. He's like, "Man, that's slave food. I ain't eating that." And so he was like a chicken nugget, pizza roll type of kid growing up.
Oh, man.
He wouldn't eat that stuff at all. He wouldn't eat it.
Man, I was forced to eat a lot of that stuff because when, you know, Sunday, when you go over to your grandmama's house or your auntie, if they didn't have, you know, you eat what they eat, now you're going to go home hungry.
Man, so, I'll never
once forget. Once I got home, man, I was cool.
Bro, I'll never forget this, man. I was 6 years old, and I was at my dad's mom's house, my other granny. And, dude, she set a plate of chitlins and cornbread in front of me. And she was like, "Oh, there you go, eat." And I was like, "I ain't eating this." Like, I was like, "I'm not eating it." "Well, you ain't getting up from the table unless you eat it." So I'm like, "Cool, I'll wait you out." My mama get off at 5 o'clock, and it was like 3:30. And I'm just sitting there. and they getting cold, and it, the juices from the chitlins are soaking up into the cornbread. And I was like, I ain't eating it. And she was like, you gonna eat them chitlins. And I just sat there, and then boom, 5 o'clock hit. About 5:15, I saw that white Geo Prism coming down the road. I'm like, ah, see ya. See ya. Deuces. Mama, take me to Burger King. I ain't nothing since 3 o'clock. Take me home. I couldn't do it, man. And bro, it's something about, like, that moment, dude. Like, if when I smell chitlins, I instantly go back to that moment, and it's like I'm scarred. I'll never eat them. Like, you, I say you couldn't pay me, but I mean, you, depending on them, had them zeros looking, I might eat a couple of them.
Hey, man, chitlins is an acquired taste. I've had them. I don't like them. But growing up in the area that my daddy and Eileen grew up, I mean, you ate what you could eat. You know what I'm saying? But I can't stand the smell of them when they cooking, man. Like, I just, that's the nastiest smell. Bro. I'm like, and y'all eat this stuff? It's like, yeah, man. Like, nah, I can't. I eat a lot of things a lot of people don't eat, man. Wild game wise, but chitlins is where I draw the line.
I draw the line on it, man. I won't eat it. I won't eat it. But it just, it ain't. My taste buds have acquired a richer taste since. So, yeah. I'm a steak and potato type of man now.
That's me. Steak and potato. That's all I eat. That's what's up. But yeah, man. So you and your brother, Nick, went to Oklahoma Tech. Was it last weekend?
Yeah, last weekend.
Last weekend. So in your mind, shot 3D experience, Tech. Give a breakdown of both of them. Which one you prefer?
All right. So here's the thing. Tech is its own thing. It's its own monster. It's going to the point now where it has surpassed any 3D shoot out there solely for the experience. Not just the shoot, not just the vendor village, but just overall, the overall experience, the amount of people that's out there, the companies that are involved, and it's its own thing. Now, SHOT, I love SHOT because one is it really tests your shooting skills. Like Tech, some of their courses test your shooting skills. Other ones, it just depends on what you want to do. I feel like at SHOT, every course is going to test your shooting skill from the, like, antlers, which is like their entry level, still some tough shots. I can tell you now, the one we shot in Oklahoma, in Eufaula. Yeah. When I came down to Muddy Bottoms, Louisiana, yeah, antlers was the easy course, but the shots were short, but your shot windows were small. I'm talking about, like, you got maybe, I say, 4 or 5 inch window. Mm. And then, you know, if you, a branch might come over, if you don't have clearance, you might hit it. So you got to squat down. So they really test all your different skills. But I like SHOT because SHOT's more intimate. It's not hustle and bustle. You know, it's kind of, you go at your own pace. And I'm a kind of a slow moving guy. I do prefer SHOT. But like TAC is, to me, is more of a networking event. Yeah, you're going to go shoot. They got some cool courses. But it, to me, it's become a networking event for archery and for guys like us who do podcasts, who are into the outdoor content space. That's where you go when you find your next interview. That's where you go and find your next sponsor. Like, it's become, to me, a networking event. But I guess it all depends on what you're going to Tech for.
Yeah, I've been to both. Like, we went to Eufaula for the 3D, shot 3D. My last Tech was in 22 in Belvidere, Tennessee. And I'm like you, I'm a slow moving guy. You know, I like to take my time on the courses and stuff like that. Tech, and it was, we had, I think there was probably 2 to 3 groups every at every station. And we were waiting because there was so many people there. Shot 3D, you know, we got through those courses pretty fast. We didn't really have to wait on nobody or whatever. But like I said, it's like you said, it's more intimate with the shot 3D because TAC is just like you said, it's its own thing. That's where you go to network, get everything. Like I think you said it before, TAC is like, how did you put it? Like a, I forgot what you said. It's TAC was something like a big frat party.
Yeah. TAC is your frat party. TAC is where you're going to go and you're going to see all the, you know, everybody, most everybody out there going to be decked out in, you know, head to toe in Sika, head to toe in Kuyu. That's like the frats. You know what I'm saying? You're either going to be in the Sika frat, you're going to be in the Kuyu frat, you're going to be in the First Light frat. And then, you know what I'm saying? Then you got your Matthew boys, you got your Hope boys. Everybody's out there just like this. It brings out the frat. It just give me frat boy environment because I was a frat boy in college. So when I go, I'm like, man, this is like a big frat party. We just happen to be shooting archery while we out here. To me, shot is you going with your family. You know, it's slow rolling. Like when we were out there, we saw that guy with his son who had to be maybe with three.
Yeah, maybe three, I think, four.
I think he said he just had a birthday. So I think he had just turned four.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's more slow moving, you know what I'm saying? A lot of, you know, smaller companies that, you know, you can, you know, you're talking to the guy who make whatever he's selling. You know what I'm saying? So you're getting that you know, one-on-one contact with them, and it's just, I don't know, it gives me more of a like down-home family feel.
Right. Yeah, I felt the same way. Like TAC, it was a whole lot of people there, kind of frat boyish. Everybody was outside, you know, their little tents and stuff. You walk by, they offer you a beer.
Yeah, they was giving out beer this year. I guess they do it all the time, but this is the first time they were. As soon as you walk in, there was this one booth. They had like five or six pallets full of some local brewery beer, and they just handed them bad boys out. Like, beer and archery, that didn't actually go together.
Nah, man, I don't know about it. Yeah, I get a little dangerous.
But it was a dope event. So we went to TAC last year in Oklahoma, and I remember hearing one of the guys, I guess they volunteers or employees, I'm not sure, but he worked for TAC, and he was saying like, yeah, we had about 4,200 sign up, you know, online. So 4,200 signed up. Well, you know for sure the locals, they going to come on, you know, Saturday, Sunday. Normally when the most days are. It's going to be late Saturday and then all day Sunday. So Friday we shot. It was a lot of people out there. But I was like, man, it seemed like it got kind of smaller. Then I got there Saturday morning, and I was like, holy smokes. Because when you pull into Beavers Bend State Park, you drive in, and then normally you have to drive at least like a half mile to a mile before you get to after you hit the TAC area where people you start seeing cars and stuff. This year, as soon as you got into the park, there was already cars parking on the side of the road because the parking sucks in Beavers Bend. So you park on the side of the road, and I'm like, yo, there was way more people here this year, and they had shuttles just constantly running, taking people to the courses and taking people to their cars. And I heard one guy was like, yeah, man, it might be like 5,700 people out here this weekend.
That's a lot of people to attack, man.
A lot of people, even the vendor village, man, was just nuts. I mean, just bumping, you know what I'm saying? Like just shoulder to shoulder. But man, there was it was just so many people, man. And I was like, man, like my brother goes, dude, this is one thing about TAC. Like every year they up it. It's with the sponsors, with the novelty shots, even the courses. Like, you know, this year they added the Chris B course and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation course. So now they're up to 8 courses.
Yeah. So I mean, they had 6, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what's crazy. That's the only thing that I did not like about the Shot 3D. You know, Darton, you know, is their big bow sponsor. Like, they weren't there.
Yep.
To test out bows. Who all was at the TAC testing out bows?
You had Darton, you had Bowtech, Hoyt, PSC, and Expedition, and Bear. So you pretty much had all the heavy hitters except, you know, Matthews, they're the king in the high castle. You know what I'm saying? They're like, they just sit down and look over everybody else. Like, we'll come down when we think we need to, which, you know, I've had this conversation with people before, and they're like, you know, Matthews don't have to come because, you know, they're going to put their bows out and their customers are going to buy it. They don't want to spend the marketing dollars and all that. I get that because that's what I do for a living. But I also see the side of I want to retain the ones that I got, and I want to capture new customers. You know what I'm saying? So right. I feel like if there's an event where all my competitors are going to be, and they're allowing my current customers and potential customers to shoot their bow at an archery event, I gotta be there because I gotta show you why I'm the big dog. I gotta come little bro all y'all. That's just my opinion. So, you know, for example, I love my Matthews. I'm a Matthews guy. Love my V3. I've shot the V3X. Right now I'm real comfortable with my V3. But I shot that Expedition X light. And I was like, ooh, I could pull the trigger right now. And the crazy part, I had the bread. I'm like, I could pull the trigger right now. And then I was like, well, so what the price tag, kid? And she's like, that $1,899. Like, ooh.
Yeah, $1,900.
Ooh. You know, you add tax. Now I gotta go buy a sight and a wrist.
Yeah.
A couple stabilizers. Shit, I'm looking at a $2,700-$3,000 purchase, and I was like, I'm good on it. I gotta finish getting my pool done. So that, and you know, the old lady was like, you know, if you get a bow, I gotta get a bow. And
priority.
I'm not gonna try and drop $6,000 this weekend. But you know, now I'm like, yeah, I do like Matthews, but the money free up, I might go get that Expedition. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see where, you know, it's not really going to hurt them, but I can see where if you had that guy that's on the fence, they would, what you call it, they could switch. And here's another thing. Tech is the perfect event to sell bows, but I know, like, a lot of bow companies, they'll refer you to go to a bow shop. The reason Expedition was able to sell bows is because they had one of their pro shops happen to have a booth there. He was selling Expeditions.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason he was going to get a bow there. Oh, and then the Black Eagle booth was selling bows as well. But TAC is a perfect event for, you know, if you're trying to sell bows, because you get that they call it a seminar high or like expo high, where just like something about, like, you ever been to like a work conference?
Mm-hmm.
And they get you all hyped up and shit, and you leave that conference, you ready, man. When I get back to work Monday morning, I'm gonna just be fired up. That's how tacky is. Actually, that's how any archery event is. When you got guys out shooting the latest and greatest bow, and you got companies out there showing their latest bow and letting you hold it, let you shoot it, all those emotions are high. When you go buy something, that's an emotion. That's just a response to an emotion. Man, let me tell you, they could have got me, because I was like, I'm looking at my bow, and I love my Matthews, but now I'm shooting something else. I'm looking and seeing what everybody else got. Man, everybody that, and that cat just got a new bow. Then I just watched a guy swipe his card and get a new bow. Shit, I'm trying to get like him. And something about that synergy, where you, like, if you, it's just like when you go to a sportsman show or some kind of expo.
Yep.
man, you better keep your card in the car. Cause you got all them people around you, you hyped up. Your homeboy, hey man, that show will look good on you, man. You sure could use that next season, bro. The salesman in your ear, and he's a swipe.
Yep, I get it. I go to the NWTF every year, and I keep my wallet on my hip, and I just keep my hand on it, because there's so much stuff there, and you got people showing you how to use this stuff, and I've gotten to the point now, it's like, yeah, it looks good, but like, am I really gonna use this? Like, when I get home, like, yeah, there I'm like on a big expo high or whatever, like you said, but when I get home, am I really gonna use this? That's what the question I got to ask myself now, because I've got enough turkey decoys, I got enough calls, you know, I got enough, you know, turkey stuff that I need. Same thing with duck hunting. Like, am I really going to use this when I get home? So a lot of times I just go there to network, pass my card out, tell them what I do, because if not, you can get in trouble real fast at these places. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars easy, like in 3-4 booths that you go to, easy.
Bro, let me tell you. So I have a strategy when I go to expos. If it's say it's a 3-day expo, well, I'm only gonna pretty much go to 2 days. I'm not gonna go all 3 days. But say I go for 2 days. The first day is strictly networking and looking. I don't buy nothing the first day. Just networking and looking. Then I leave, go back to my hotel. Then I get the, man, I showed it like that release. I showed it like that saddle. Oh, man, those climbing sticks, man, they were so nice. And I go through my head all night long. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy the climbing sticks. Because they're going to be probably the cheapest out of the three things I'm going to buy. So I go buy the climbing sticks. And then I'll literally go in and I'll look. And then I'll make my purchase and I'll leave. And that's so far that has saved me, because before I would go to like the Iowa Deer Classic and no BS, bro. I was telling myself, man, my budget is $500 and 30 minutes in, I didn't drop 450 pounds on something, bro. It happened to me at Tech, bro. I told my fiance, I said, hey, check this out. I said, this weekend at Tech, we got a $500 budget. So, because we already bought food for the cabin, so we don't have to go out. You know what I'm saying? So, $500 we can spend. I started the spending limit. We can get hats and hoodies and t-shirts and little knickknacks. Like, because she likes to go thrift shopping too, so we always hit thrift shops when we, you know, go to different towns. So, $500 is our limit. Bro, I walk in. As soon as I walk into Vendor Village, there was this booth called the Mod Saw. Boom, saw them. Walk over there. Hey, man, what's this? Oh, man, it's a arrow cutting saw. It's a spinner and I forgot what they call that thing. Well, you level off your arrow. You shave it down where it's flat.
Like the leveler or whatever.
Yeah, the leveler. Yeah. It's all that in one. I'm like, damn, that's nice. So then they got to show me how it works and everything. How much one of these things? Well, you can get the basic model for like $150, or you can get the deluxe for $209. Man, I gonna get the deluxe. and bro, she looked at me and she was like, "So is this part of our?" Because I had 500 cash. She's like, "So is this part of our budget?" And I was like, "No, this is our business."
Swipe that card. Yeah. Then, put that on the taxes.
Yeah, and she was like, "That's funny how that work, ain't it?" I was like, man, but it get me every time, man. But I was already hyped up about being at Tech. The lady told me, the lady and her husband that run the company was like, we only bought 50. So I get looking around. Oh shit, man. Couple thousand people out here, so 50, I could walk around the corner and come back and they ain't got none. So right. I was like, shh, here, hey, here this 210, go ahead and hold that for me. I'm gonna go shoot. I'm gonna come back and pick it up. She wrote my name on it, and I was like, man, and then the whole time I'm shooting, I'm like, man, they gonna sell all of them, get down to one and be like, man, we gonna go ahead and sell this, get his money back. This guy wanna buy one right now. I was like, shh, let me go ahead and don't save it. I just go ahead and buy it. I pick it up. So it's got to be, I don't, but saying all that, I just feel like in our world, Tech is almost like the Super Bowl. It's like the big, even though it's not a competition, it's still like, it's the one of the biggest events in the archery world. Why wouldn't the top dog be there?
Well, like we talked about before, man, Matthews, I feel like it's always going to be the top dog. You know, their marketing is out of this world. Anytime they drop a bow, you know, we literally, I'm not a Matthews guy, but I literally wait on those videos when they say they're going to drop a bow because I know their video is going to be dope. And it's like the buddy system. Your buddy bought a Matthews. Well, if you're looking to go buy a bow, if all your buddies around you are surrounded with Matthews bows, you're not going to go out and buy a Bowtech or a Hoyt. Mm-hmm. You're going to be looking at Matthews. That's how they are. They're, like I said, they're the king of the hill. They're just looking down at everybody. It's like, we'll come out when we need to. And right now, they don't need to.
Yep. Yeah. They don't need to because they got the name. It's like, you know, Nike don't go everywhere. They don't have to because, like,
they don't have to.
You know, we Nike, we'll host our own event and y'all gonna come to that. Now if Matthews jumped on some stuff like that where it's like, hey, you know, y'all got Tech, but we got Matthews Fest. Shh. Hey,
yeah.
it's gonna be a whole nother that's gonna be a whole nother story right there. But yeah, but the vendors this year at Tech though, man, they really upped it up. It was a lot of smaller companies. And I like that there was a company called Canis out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. They make clothing. Like, honestly, to me, it looked like Kuyu. But it was Canis. Really nice.
Yeah, I think I've heard of them before. K-A-N-I-S?
C.
Oh, C-A-N-I-S.
Okay. Yeah. But I've heard
of them before. They got like a dog that looks like their logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like, you know, in the same vein as Kuyu, but the price is very fair. And man, I mean, I've always been like, shit, if Cass was killing, you know, deer and all that stuff and blue jeans and a flannel jacket, I can kill something in this, you know, it ain't the clothes that anyway. So I'm like, hey man, let me get your card, man. I love how you on the show. And he gave me a t-shirt, then I bought a hat. But they were a cool guy to sit and talk to the guys over at Dowd Archery. Scott is always cool. Ran into Brandon Waddell, you know, the founder of Mountain Archery Fest. He was out there, so me and him chatted up for a little bit. And like I said, talked to the mod, saw guys, expedition. And then I met this dude named Craig Robertson. He with the goat rope, and his always had to say the goat on it. And dude, small YouTube, you know what I'm saying? But he, after trying to build his following up, had a booth out there, which I'm pretty sure was a heavy investment. So of course I'm like, bro, we in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bought two t-shirts from him and a hat, and just sat and talked to him for probably about 15, 20 minutes. He's a real cool guy. And, I mean, overall it was just a great event. And that's one of the things that I love about the archery community is, it really don't matter how big or small a company is, like everybody willing to sit and have a conversation with you and just talk. And that's like, to me, the best thing. Like no one's too big. I mean, even Chris B was out there. I mean, he's definitely top three when it comes to, you know, archery content creators. And he's just mingling with in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had his own course there. Yeah, right. He had the Be Real course, and he's out just, you know, talking to guys like regular. Like, he was standing next to me, and I didn't really know who he was. I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't know that was him until I'm like, oh shit, that's Chris B. And he just out with the common folks, you know what I'm saying? He could have been at his tent just like, yeah, you know, come see me. But nah, he's out moving around, shaking hands, kissing babies, and, you know, just one of the guys.
Yeah, that's what I love about the NWTF, man. You know, you got all your heavy hitters there, you know, your heavy shots, you know, your strut commanders, and Michael Waddell and them's going to be there, your bone collectors, and Hunting Public, all them guys. But I like to go in the corners to these small companies, man, and talk to them about, you know, how they got started. And because they're basically in the same realm as me. You know, I'm just getting started in this. I just like to go pick their brain. Hey, how'd you come up with this? And, like, how'd you market it? And, you know, cost effective and this. Because I know them booths, man, at NWTF, they're not cheap. Even more than in the corner. So I know it's a huge investment for them. So it's like, I like hearing those little stories. Because, you know, the heavy hitters, they going to make their money. But those little guys like us, man, like, I like to support them. You know, the little companies. Because when I start selling my merch here for too long, I'm going to be in the same boat as them.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm whatever. So
I'm right there with you. Like, man, dude, like, right in front of me, I got a wall of hats. I'm talking, I mean, I bet you I got 200 hats.
Yeah, I got a hat too.
Out of them 200 hats, bro, I would say over half of them are small companies, man. Like, you know, guys just getting started, guys who might be around 5, maybe 6 years. And I just, hey, man, you got a hat? And I normally get a hat and a t-shirt. Dude, I got a wall in my walk-in closet. I have a wall of just shirts. Mm-hmm. And it's all shirts from, you know, other podcasters. I got your hoodie in there. I got one of your hoodies in there.
Yeah.
Hats from other podcasters and content creators, smaller company. I just build it up because, like, I want to support them. Like, I can't invest millions of dollars, but I can throw $30-$40 into your, you know, your pocket, man. Every little bit helps. So
right.
I sell merch, and I want people to buy my merch. So when I see guys selling merch, I buy it, man. Cause it is what it is. Like, we all in this together.
That's right. Well, this is a pretty good segue to get into our next little venture. So I guess it was me, you, and J-Cam that was talking about having, like, a bow draft where you get people on, like, the NFL draft, and you pick gear. So you want to explain what's about to happen Tuesday. What's the date? April 22nd. April 22nd.
Yeah,
y'all are going to want to stay tuned to this, so make sure y'all listen to Trey, because it's happening on Tuesday on the New Jack Archers page.
Oh, yeah. So check this out. So, like, I want the ball started rolling, like, April 23. So I was kicking it with my brother in his homeboy Cam, or Cam, my homeboy too. He's actually our producer for the Retalk Listen podcast. And both of those guys are big into sneakers. Like, they love shoes, man. And we were heading to a baseball game, and they listened to this podcast called the Sneak This podcast. And they were doing their annual sneaker draft. And I'm like, sneaker draft? Like, what is this? And I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm like, this is dope. The whole concept of it, and I was very intrigued. Like, it really got me interested in the sneaker game until I saw them prices, and I was like, well, shit, I'm good.
Right.
So that passed by, and then I got thinking, like, man, what's something that no one's done in the archery game? Something that could, like, showcase, like, the knowledge of archery and my love for sports and just getting guys together to just, you know, just talk archery, you know, like, and I think when I brought it up to Jay, we were talking about, like, I was like, what would you do if you had, you know, X amount of money to build your perfect setup? How would you do it? And we got talking about it, and I was like, check this out, man. I was like, I want to do a bow draft. He was like, what? I was like, I want to do a bow draft. And he was like, all right, like, you got my ear. Explain. So I started breaking it down. Dude, take all the top bows that released this year. Put them like, you know, top all the, not just bows, but all the equipment, the bow, the sight, the release, the rest, the arrows, the broadheads, and build the ultimate setup. But you can't just build it. You got to draft it. And you got $3,000 to build the ultimate setup. Now, it's not just to draft and to see who can get the best stuff, but it's basically, it's kind of like a learning tool. Not a learning tool, but like a kind of like a guide. New Jack Archers, we're all about getting, you know, helping guys get into the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have the most expensive stuff to get into archery. You can, if you got a tight budget, this is what you can get. So hopefully when people listen to this bow draft, they're paying attention that, okay, these guys have a tight budget, and let's see how they put, you know, let's see how they put together a good setup. And I can be honest with you, $3,000, you can get a dang good setup. But when you got your back against the wall, because, you know, you might not be able to go into your bow shop and buy a Bowtech or a Matthews, your bow shop might only have Hoyt. So how can you build a nice setup with $3,000 and have a Hoyt and only have Hoyts or whatever bow shop, whatever your bow shop may carry? But yeah, Tuesday, April 22nd. At 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. So if you're on the East Coast, it's gonna be 8 o'clock. If you're on the West Coast, it's gonna be 5 o'clock.
Oh yeah, if you're on West Coast, yeah.
West Coast gonna be 5 o'clock. And then if you mountain standard time, you're gonna be 6 o'clock. But we're gonna be having first annual bow draft. Got 8 guys on the panel. We got, you know, a heavy hitter lineup of bows, releases, sights, arrows, rests, broadheads, and it's going to be just like the NFL draft. Everybody will have 1 minute to pick their, you know, while they're on the clock to make their draft choices. They got a $3,000 budget that they got to stay within. Guys will only have one trade, so if you are in a position where you might have, you know, there's a bow you really, really want, you can trade your draft picks. You can trade money. Well, no, you can't trade money, but you can trade your draft picks. You can trade draft spots, all that. So it's going to move and shake like the NFL draft. And we started working on this bad boy, I want to say like November, late November, early December. Yeah, and it's
been a while.
It's been a minute, and finally got everything all put together, all the graphics made, got the guests all lined up, all the participants, and we getting ready to rock and roll. This is going to be the first of its kind. I'm pretty sure I told you this before. I was like, once we do this, I guarantee it. There's going to be some other people pop up and do it, but just know the New Jack Archers did it first.
Facts.
It's going to be big. It's going to be big. Like, I've had to really dig in my bag to figure out how to make all the moving parts work. Like, it's going to look like a $1 million production on a $100 budget.
So let me ask you this. Do you already got something to put out for tomorrow to get people drawn into, like a some type of like a flyer or something?
Oh, I'm doing that tonight.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, you need something so we can put that out there. So get as many people as we can.
Bro, just give you a heads up, bro. I got up this morning at 3 o'clock to put the finishing. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning to put the finishing touches on it. Like my daughter got up and she walked in the room. She's like, what are you doing? And this was like at 5. I'm like, work. And she came and looked. She goes, that looks really good. And she left and went and got, made her some coffee, whatever. And then my fiance came in. She looked. She's like, you still up? I never went to sleep. I just went to bed. I've been up since, three. And just working, man. Like, I got the finishing touches on it. I'm super excited. Matter of fact, do I have it right now? No, I don't. I don't have a big board up right now. Yes, I do. No, I don't. I don't. Never mind. I don't have the big board up. But I got a big board. I got all the. It's literally just like the NFL draft.
It's gonna be dope.
It's gonna be dope.
Yeah, we got a few heavy hitters out of the outdoor world. You just got to tune in. Can't tell you no names or nothing. You just got to be there.
Just gonna have to tune in, man. And I can't wait, bro. Like I've had people hit me up, like the guys that are gonna be participating. They're like, bruh, like this is gonna be epic. Like I'm glad to be part of this. Like to be cool. On the first annual. You know what I'm saying? So like this is gonna be an every year thing. I'm just gonna let y'all know this is gonna happen every single year from now on.
From now on, annually,
it's gonna be dope. This is the first time. Like, this is live. It's gonna be live. It's not gonna be pre-recorded and put out. Yeah, it's going to be. Live. It's like, gonna be live.
Like the NFL draft. Live,
uncut, no edits. Like, it's gonna be just raw. So, like, I've been telling cats, hey man, you gotta come with. You gotta come with it. Because you also like, you gotta be able to explain your pick. You can't be like, oh, I picked it because there's only one left. Like,
explain it. Yeah.
Why'd you pick it? Why'd you pick this site? Why'd you trade to move up to this spot? What makes this bow worth trading your only trade that you can have in this draft? You know, it's there's a strategy to it because you don't have to pick a bow the first round.
Nope.
You could come in and pick broadheads the first round. Your first pick could be a set of broadheads.
Mm-hmm.
Your first pick could be a release. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Says who gonna come in and shake it up?
Somebody is. Because I know I'm gonna have to go bow first.
it would make sense to go bow first.
But I mean, if you got somebody come in to do broadheads first, man, that's just crazy, in my opinion. Like arrows, I can see, you know what I'm saying? But broadheads, I don't know. Release, I can see too. But I mean, you come in and pick some broadheads first, man, I don't know. Because I mean, there are some, I don't think there's a bad broadhead out there anymore.
No. I mean unless you get some cheap. Game Walmart, them just game broadheads from Walmart. That's them is bad, but like other than that, maybe it like a good name.
Yeah, I mean it all comes down to shot placement. Anyway, you shoot the animal where it's supposed to be shot. That broadhead's gonna do what it's meant to do.
Yeah, I mean, bro, think about it. they was shooting shit with rocks,
right?
So I mean,
yeah, exactly.
With rocks out of a stick and a string, literally. So, I mean, like you said, ain't too many bad broadheads out there. But, you know, like, I can see, I guess, working on this for so long, while I'm doing it, I'm putting together all the stuff in my head. Like, okay, I can see why somebody would do this. So, like, if you're a guy who you don't care about brand the bows, and you feel like you can kill anything with anything.
Right.
But you really want that UV slider, you really want that spot hog fast eddy, you drop the sight first. As long as I got that sight, I don't care what I put it on, I'm in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean it's gonna be fun. If you tune in, hop in the chat, you know what I'm saying, throw out what you would draft if you was on the panel. And just make it a fun game. Like, this is going to be an event that I want everybody to be engaged. We won't just be drafting and not paying attention to the chat. We will be talking to the chat, getting input. Your comments will pop up on the screen. You can ask people on the panel certain questions. They can answer it. I mean, it's an interactive show. It's not just to watch and be done with. Hell, it's almost better than the NFL draft. NFL draft, you don't get no input. You sit at home and watch it.
Sit at home and watch it.
And it's leading up to the NFL draft come Thursday. Oh, come Friday. No, Thursday.
Thursday.
So I can't wait. It's been something that, you know, we've been working on and want to put out for the people. And it's finally happening, man. It's cool when you take something from here and then you put it out there and you start seeing it all come together. It's like, okay, this is actually real now.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, man. I got a lot of things in my head that I've been trying to get down on paper. I got a lot of stuff that I want to get done this year, with the brand and everything. Got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline slowly but surely, making some good connections with some people. So what's next for the Dreaded Archer?
Man, what's next for the Dreaded Archer, man? Oh my, it's a lot. So of course the bow draft, that's been the main thing. But then just I plan on putting more content out, like more review content. Like I have so much gear and all this stuff, and I say, oh yeah, I'm gonna start doing reviews, and then I don't. But I don't want to do just like the run of the mill review. I want to make it like fun, and you know, as fun as a review gonna be, just kind of just put my juice on it, my thing on it. So just be more me, kind of put myself out there more. You know, doing different skits and stuff related to hunting, and then plan on. Wanted to do it this summer, but I was not expecting the move, so they kind of postponed some stuff. But later this year, you'll see a new show coming out. It's called Wild Pull-Ups with the Dreaded Archer. I'll basically be pulling up on, you know, guys in the industry, whether you make, you know, saddles, you make arrows, a boat and bow companies, you're a wild game chef. You make clothes, duck calls, turkey calls, deer calls, whatever you do. If it's outdoor related and it's something in the outdoor hunting industry, I'm going to pull up on you, spend a day with you, you know, learn how you got started. What's your day-to-day like? What's it like, you know, running the company, or what's it like doing whatever you do? I'm going to go out there and do it with you. So I got a couple guys already lined up that, you know, we're going to start filming for, and, gonna put a couple episodes out on YouTube, Instagram. Well, Instagram would just be clips, but mainly put it on YouTube, and then it'll slowly transition over to Carbon TV. Or, you know, if Carbon TV like the pilot, then we're going straight to Carbon TV, and then it'll be on Carbon TV and YouTube. But you'll be able to find it definitely on Carbon TV.
That's hilarious, because that's why I feel like we're long lost brothers, dog, because I literally have something just like that playing. It's a little different than what you just explained, where I'm not spending like the whole day with like a company. I'm kind of hopping to a couple different companies and seeing the pros and cons of something that this company might do different than that. Well, it's not really pros and cons, it's just the similarities and the differences.
Yeah.
Basically, of say, you know, like shotgun shells, like this company might do it different than another company. But I've already been in talks with a few people about that. Speaking of shotgun shells, y'all stay tuned to next week's show. I was going to talk about it on this show, but I had the craziest turkey hunt I have ever had in my entire life, opening day, and I'm still very, very upset about it. I had I had a shell misfunction. It was not the gun. It was the shell misfunction or malfunction. And it was, shout out to Retay. I'm not going to lie, because if I'd have had a cheaper shotgun, not going to mention any brands. I'm just going to say if I'd have had a cheaper made shotgun, it would have probably blew up in my face.
See, in my industry, we don't say cheap. We say savings brand.
Yeah.
It sounds better. It
sounds better. Yeah, there you go. But caught this bird from probably 200 yards away. And I'm not the greatest caller, but I'm pretty decent with a mouth call. I ain't no Bo Brooks by no means. But caught this bird in on a string 30 yards in front of me, strutting. And it just makes me mad just talking about it. But yes, tune in next week's episode. I'm going to get into it probably a little more. But I was highly upset about it. But
man, you know what? This is the second show I've been on where I've heard the name Bo Brooks.
Dude, if you do not know who Bo Brooks is, you need to do your due diligence.
I ain't in a turkey game.
I don't care. This man, I'm going to say it. He's the GOAT when it comes to turkey calling, in my eyes. Like Michael Waddell, like he's a great turkey caller. You know, he's won all these awards or whatever. But like Bo with a mouth call, he's a beast. Like I've never heard anybody. There's a lot of good turkey callers out there. You know, Slate callers. You know, shout out to Stanley Williams, Black Lightning. You know, you got your Michael Waddells of the world. There's a guy that I actually went to school with. He makes his own calls. Matt Fulkerson, shout out to him. I went to school with him and his brother. They're in my town here in LaRue County, Kentucky. But like Bo, when he puts that mouth call in,
he do the thing.
If he don't call that turkey in for you, it's not meant to be. Like I'll send you some videos of Bo Brooks, dog. Like on Instagram, TikTok, like he actually gives you like tutorials. This is the only dude that I know that can gobble with a mouth call.
And he's fairly young. He's a young cat, ain't he?
Yeah, I think he's I'm not sure where he's from, but he's sponsored by Higdon, which is here in Paducah, Kentucky. It was about 3 hours away from me, but I think he spells his name B-A-U-X, like Bo, like you would in Louisiana. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But B-A-U Brooks, but he's on TikTok, and he actually gives you like tutorials on how to like use your mouth call. Like he's the only dude that I know that can actually gobble with a mouth call. Usually you do your clucks and your purrs and all that, you know, with mouth call. That man teaches you how to gobble with a mouth call. Like it's unbelievable what he can do with a mouth call. Like it's
I had a guy on my show last week, and he was saying that Bo Brooks has invented the very first oscillated turkey call, because normally when you go hunt those turkeys, it's an electronic call, but he's invented the very first mouth call. No, box. He's a box. Box call.
Box. Yeah, he's cold with it, man. Like, he's good. I mean, there's a lot of good guys out there. You know, especially in the duck world, man, there's a lot of good, you know, duck callers out there. But besides, like, especially mouth calling, man, like he's probably the GOAT in my eyes, for real. But
why you had him on the show yet?
I've been trying to get him on the show, man. I had I talked to him at NWTF this year, and gave him my card, told him what I do and everything, and he said, "Hey, man, I'll do anything for the Kentucky, you know, for Kentucky boys." So I guess he just got a special place in his heart for Kentucky. I'm not sure where he's from originally, but
he might be from Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's from like Washington or somewhere, but he's sponsored by Higdon, which is in Kentucky. So I just think he's just got a special place in his heart for Kentucky, man. But he's like, "I'll get on, you know, whenever I get time." He said, "I'll reach out to you." So I hit him up a few times, but he's like, man, I'm super busy this time of year, which is turkey season.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to get him on just to pick his brain about how, like, how he does it, man. Like, it's insane, like, the words that he tries to tell you to use, and then you put the call in your mouth and do it, it don't sound nothing like he does.
Yeah.
But he's a beast, man. But turkey hunting, man, it's one of the things. It's very fun. It gives you a rush, you know, calling them turkeys in, getting them to respond to you. But when you had something happen like I had happened Saturday, dude, you go to sleep and you just, like, your mind just keeps thinking about what that happened. And then you go out the next day and you're like, okay, that same bird is going to be somewhere in that field. He's going to come straight back to where he was. And then I had him gobbling. And then there's like a little path in the woods, kind of 50 yards up from where I've got my blind set up. Cause I'm hunting this turkey out of a blind simply because there's woods all around, and the back part of the woods, it's like a different property, and then you got boundary lines. So basically, it's this whole big field, and you never know where they're going to come out at.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, this bird came here. He's going to come here tomorrow. Well, the next day, he comes out about 50 yards up from where he was. He's got five hens with him, and he ain't breaking. Every time I call to him, he'll gobble, and he'll just keep on walking. So I'm like, it's been a, yeah. But well, that's how they call it hunting, man. Yeah, you know,
it's just getting started.
It's fun, man, to get out there, though. But it's, I tell people, man, turkey hunting is one of that, well, hunting period, you can't expect, some people get lucky. Like, I've got a buddy, his first time ever going out deer hunting with his dad, he killed a 195. And now he's just like, I don't even want to go no more. Because he's like, I'm never going to beat this. And I said, well, that's not what it's about for me. It's about getting outside, getting outdoors, enjoying the outdoors. You know, I just like being out there. I don't know if you heard my last podcast, but like, I break down. I try to break down. I don't know how good of a, everybody said I did a pretty decent job at it. I had to send it to you. I try to break down like the similarities between Jesus and the outdoors.
Okay.
I use scriptures, use some personal anecdotes that I, you know, threw in there, but it's a spiritual thing for real.
Oh, to definitely. Me
now. But some people, I tell them, if you're first getting started in the hunting, I said, you can't get frustrated because you won't go back. I said, you're not going to be successful the first time you go out there, 9 times out of 10. You might get lucky, but I grew up in the baseball world. If you're hitting 300, so that means every 3 out of 10, you're successful. You're making millions and millions of dollars. So you're gonna fail 70% of the time and succeed 30% of the time. And you're making millions of dollars in the baseball world. That's what I look at.
I take that all day.
Right. So you gotta be patient, you gotta learn patience, which my son, my only born, I should say, my son, he taught me a lot about patience because I did not have it beforehand, but he's taught me a lot. So that goes in the woods with me. But
hey, no, I'm right there with you, man. Like, to me, like, hunting has taught me a whole lot of patience because, like, in the past, dude, I had zero, like none. Even like I have a little girl, and like, I just like with her, even with her, I had no patience. Like, all that crying and whining, I ain't got no time for it. Hey, suck that shit up. Like, hey, it's time to get up and go. And like with hunting, though, like, well, I had to learn patience because, you know, kids, you just gotta, they gonna do what kids do. So that started the foundation of my patience. But I would say hunting is what, like, really built it up, because it's, like, you got to be patient. If not, like you said, you're going to be done. Like, most people expect to go out, first-time hunters expect to go out first day, opening day, boom, 200-inch buck walk out, boom, put them down, or turkey comes out, big gobbler comes out first day, boom, put them down, 30 minutes in. That don't happen. It happens sometimes, but majority of the time, it ain't happening. You know, you're going to miss more than you actually get. So you got to be like, all right. And one thing that's helped me is actually doing like a recap, like breaking down the hunt after, you know, if I don't have a successful hunt, what did I do wrong today? Or, you know, what did I do right? And it just wasn't my time, because, you know, the deer going to be where the deer are. So, mm-hmm. just having a recap, and, you know, either I'll have it on my, like with myself on the way back home, or I'll call somebody up and get to talking. And, you know, that kind of fuels the fire for the next hunt. And I do it. And even if I have a successful hunt, I still break down, all right, what did I do right that led to the success, so I can duplicate it? You know, mm-hmm. What was the wind doing? All that. And it's helped me. And I just love the outdoors, because then it floods over into my everyday life, my personal life, my professional life. Like, I got to be patient with the people I'm working with. I got to be patient with my significant other. I got to be patient with my friends, my family. It just all boils over. And it's, I try to break it down to me like sports. I bring everything back to sports, because, you know, football, play college ball, play high school ball, all that. So, like, I always, you know, just break it down like that. Like, you don't, kind of like you say, if you batting, you know, 300 and what you call it, you can pay millions. You know what I'm saying? In football, you know, you don't get that 80, 90 yard run every time. Sometimes you got to break it down into chunks. You know what I'm saying? If I'm getting 5 yards a carry, baby, I'm getting a first down every two carries. I'm Gucci. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might not get that, you know, it's just, you're not going to get that long run every time. Sometimes you got to chip away at it. And that's how hunt season is. You're not going to get that deer on the first day, but you're chipping away. You constantly learn, okay, today I came in, the wind wasn't right. I shouldn't have came in today. Tomorrow I'm going to come in, the wind going to be right. Oh, I made too much noise doing this. That's probably why the deer didn't come. Oh, deer came. I rushed my shot. Didn't get it. So you're slowly chipping away, and then right when you get to that goal line, whenever that is, that buck walk out, that doe walk out, 25, 30 yards, and you put the arrow in the sweet spot, they run 15, 20 yards, pile up, and you like, all those failures led up to this. And once you get it on the ground, all those stuff don't even matter.
Yeah. And I get, you know, some people, you know, they get, you know, they'll come up to you, so-and-so, you know, killed a deer this year. Come, you didn't kill one. I said, man, you know, it's just how it is. Sometimes somebody might be in the right place at the right time, and you might not be there. I was like, I usually see deer when I go out. And I said, you know, there was one year, I think it was 2016. It might have been 2015. I killed a nice buck. Then I went out on about a two-year drought where I seen deer, but I just couldn't get no shots on them. And it's just, that's how hunting goes sometimes. I mean, you might kill a good buck 2 years ago, and then 2 years later, it's like, man, you know, what's going on? But it's just, that's how it is. But, you know, it's like, well, you're not good a hunter, or so-and-so. It's like, well, I might not be. I said, but you're not seeing, you know, the squirrel hunts I'm going on, the rabbit hunts that I've been on, the dove hunts that I've been on. Some of that stuff I don't post.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but just because so-and-so's killing something don't mean you're any less of a hunter than they are. It's just, they was in the right spot at the right time. They might have more time to go hunt than you. And that's what I tell people, you know, like, especially here in Kentucky, man, like where I'm from, like, hunters get a bad rap because most people only go out second week of November, which is our gun season. You know, some hunters live for that, especially the older guys. Like, yeah, they don't touch their gun until a week before the season.
get it, knock the dust off, get it dialed in, ready to go.
Yeah, and but that's what some people live for. Like, we're bow hunters, so we get out there earlier, but like some people that don't bow hunt, that's what they look forward to. So why are we putting down the older guys or whoever decides to go gun hunt those 2 weeks? It's like, oh, they're killing deer, and that's why I can't get deer, you know, this, this, and this. No, they ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, they want to get out there and harvest meat too. Yes, if you want to get out there earlier, you better get you a bow.
Exactly.
That's when the Orange Army comes to town, there might be 15 guys around you that wasn't there last year that got permission. You know, and basically it's first come, first serve. That deer walks out in front of you. If you think it's a shooter, you better shoot it, because if it walks another 25, 30 yards to the other neighbor's property, you're going to hear a gunshot.
Yep. Hey, but I don't let nothing walk
around here, man.
I didn't seen it, bro. Me and my buddy Rex were hunting down on the Sulphur River over in Arkansas, Miller County. And, man, it was this nice buck. He was probably, I want to say he was a nice, mature eight. And I'm like, man, that's a nice deer. And, but we had, like, I mean, we had some space between, I want to say probably about 500-600 yards. And I'm like, I'm not taking that shot. You know, we had a rifle. So we started making our way. We close the gap. We get to about 315 yards. And I don't have a shot. Like, I'm just like, for every reason, I didn't feel comfortable taking a shot. So we just sat and waited. Well, some hunters was walking out. When they hit the tree line, they pushed him over to the next field. Manager could jump that fence. And as soon as he got probably about 10 yards in,
yep.
And I'm like, dang. And I'm like, well, maybe they missed him. Damn, I'm trying to think. I'm like, they missed him. He gonna come back. He's gonna come back running this way. Man, we got the loading up, man. We got to the parking lot. Should have had that joker stretched out.
Yeah, man. Like, a lot of these deer around here, especially during the rut, if you see a decent buck that you think is a shooter, you better do your best to take him down, you know, ethically. Don't take him 400-500 yard shots, but because if he goes any direction and goes to somewhere else on another property, them jokers ain't letting that thing walk. I'm telling you now. Because you know, some of them guys might have been, some of them, like my buddy's dad, he didn't get to hunt last year. Like, I didn't get to hunt last year. So you never know when the last time these cats been in the woods. They itching.
Itching, boy. Be ready. Dude, the farm, like when I first got into hunting like 5 years ago, Max, I used to hunt her parents' property. And, dude, let me tell you, like, everybody around them hunted. Everybody. But, like, they didn't hunt. Like, her brother might hunt every once in a while, but nobody else did. So, it was really just me and him. So, I would get out there. You know, I had to drive 6 hours to get out there. So, it was like, I didn't go every day. So, when I would go out there, all the big deer are on their property because everybody else is, you know, pushing them around. So, they're like, oh, we good here. And then I sneak in. And they'd be like, man, damn, man. Trey killing all the good deer. I'm like, yeah, because, hey, I'm there at the right time, man. I'm just there at the right time. You know what I'm saying? Y'all trying to drive up in y'all's pickup trucks and hunt these deer. Y'all pushing them. And they know the truck coming. They know what they know. Trucks don't come down this road. Trucks don't be out here in this field. So we get to dip out. And y'all pushing to me. And shit, I'm waiting for them. Settling on.
Because, I mean, they get smart. They get hip to this stuff. Because me, I'm one of them guys, I don't like walking far to get in my deer stand, especially if it's freezing cold outside. I ain't trying to walk that far. But sometimes you got to learn. You got to park that side-by-side of that truck 100 yards the other way and walk there just so they don't, you know, don't hear that truck or whatever. Because if they hear something that they're not used to hearing, it's like, hold on, what is that? Danger. They gone.
They out. They out. Dude, my buddy Bill. Oh, what are you gonna say?
I said I got a homeboy, his dad, man. he's got a big combine. And he lives somewhere in Texas. But he's got like a big combine operation or whatever down there somewhere. And he said he'll take his combine out there, park it.
Cause they know that combine because they're like, oh, he ain't here to mess with us.
Right, because he's like, man, I see deer all the time. He said, I don't know if it's legal or not. And I said, I don't know if it is or not. I said, but it's private property. And I said, you're not moving. You're just sitting in a combine. So you're technically sitting in a blind. I mean, yeah. It'd be different if you was moving, you know, trying to chase these things. But he's like, he'll sit in that thing and deer come out and boom. I'm like, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, let them fall. Man, my buddy Will was telling me a story, man, just a couple years ago. Dude, he was having the hardest time getting his buck. And this buck was he ended up getting him, but he scored like 164, 165-ish. Nice public land buck. But he got a camera out, and he would see this deer every single day come out in this little food plot that he had planted back there. So he was like, dude, I don't get it. He comes out every single night, every single morning at like 7:30. But then the days I show up, he don't come. And then as soon as I'm gone, my camera will send me a picture. He's out eating. So I'm like, bro, I was like, there's something you doing that's alerting that deer that you come in there. You know, and he was like, man, I don't know what it could be. So we, you know, sitting around having beers, you know, trying to solve the world's problems. And I was like, bro, I'm like, where are you parking at? He was like, I park in the designated parking spot. I'm like, man, you need to probably park in another parking spot, like down the road and walk up. He's like, man, that's too far. I'm like, but it'll work. I said, because it's got to be something that you're doing that's alerting that deer. So he got the good idea of he's going to have his brother ride with him because his brother didn't hunt. Jake didn't hunt at the time. He was like, hey, I want you to ride with me. I'm going to get out the car and walk to the stand. And about 7:30, when he normally comes out, I want you to, like, if I don't see him, I want you to crank the car up and drive off. So 7:30 came, hadn't seen a deer. 8 o'clock, no deer. So he texts Jake, hey, crank the car up, slam the door, crank the car up, drive off. So he slammed the door, cranked it up, drove down the dirt road. About 15 minutes after his brother got good and down the road, that deer comes walking down to that food plot, and he put him down. And so he called me. I got him. I think he called him. Forgot the name he called the deer. Nixon. Called him Nixon. So he saw where he came from. So he walked it and he saw a trail that this deer was taking. So he follows the trail, ends up finding his bed. Where his bed was, if you look straight, if you get in his bed and look down the hill, you see the parking spot. You see the parking lot, probably about 200 yards away.
Mm.
So he would park his truck and he'd walk all the way around and come up to the back of his stand. Well, as he's walking up, that deer sees the truck. So once the deer realized, oh, that guy that's been coming out here to hunt me is gone, I'm guessing. It's safe now. That vehicle's not there. So he felt comfortable enough to get up out of his bed, go eat.
Gone.
Got popped. So these jokers are smart. they are smart.
Yeah. Yeah, and the older they get, the bigger they are, the smarter they are. Because they ain't just going to come to no food, no little corn you got on the ground. They smarter than that.
No, he threw some clover seeds out. Because we can't, in South Dakota, you can't hunt over bait. But you can throw.
Oh,
and so he had went in one day and raked up a bunch of leaves and stuff and just kind of threw some clover seeds out. And they popped up and he got that buck. So, I mean, I've seen it like places where I've hunt where like I know this buck comes through here and some reason he's not. So I'll sit up in another spot, same wind, just another spot, and boom, and oh, here he come. I got him. Or sometimes you just gotta wait him out because like I know a lot of guys, like, we try to think that we can pattern these deers. And to a point, you can. But, like, so many different variables go into it. A deer coming down that trail. Like, he could be on his way down that trail, coming right to you. And a hunter was there 2 days before you and left a, you know, left his scent. He picks it up. Oh, nope, not going over there. Or he could have got chased by a coyote, knocked him off his trail, hit by a car. A number of things could have happened. Or something that spooked him, where that's just that day he was on his way, but something came up where he something knocked him off his route. So, like, that's where it's being consistent in showing up every day, or, you know, figuring out what you're doing wrong, and eventually it's a chess game.
It's where trail cameras for me come into play. You know, you take all that intel, your trail cameras, you know, he's coming out 7:30 in the morning. He's going back in. You see him again 7:30 at night, you know, or if he's nocturnal at the time, you know, he's coming out 3:30 in the morning. How am I going to get here in the daylight? A lot of questions you got to ask, but once you feel like you got him patterned out, it's just consistency. And I tell people, you know, you've got to find, even if it's, you know, 100 yards to get in there, you can't just walk straight into your stand and leave scent everywhere if you know that buck's been traveling there. You've got to find alternate routes to get into your stand or your blind, or you're not leaving scent where he's going to be.
Yep, you know, exactly.
It's a chess game, you know. I got a buddy, and he's got one, his blind is right in the middle of his field. And he'll drive his side by side up. And he's got a little spot under his stand. He's got one of them millennium trees. Like, it's nice. Pull it under there, whatever. So all that gas that he, you know, all that. And he's like, man, how come I ain't seeing no deer? I'm like, where are you parking? He's like, I'm parking under my stand. I said, where's your stand at? He said, it's in the middle of the field. I said, no, we got to move that.
Yep.
So we moved it about 2 years ago to like this corner that, like, you can see like this creek bottom, and it overlooks like a cut cornfield. So we kind of moved it in the corner, and we made him like an access road, basically going on the other side, coming in from the other, like the neighbor's property, basically. And so he could drive right up to his stand or whatever. And he had I think the biggest deer he killed on that property so far was like a 165.
Man, that'll do.
Because they were coming in, because he was driving through, they were coming in on the right side. So once they got to the middle of the field, they smelled all that gas and whatever. It was like, man, something's up. I was like, you got to come in on the other side if they're coming in. I said, let them walk, get to where you are. And I said, you're going to have some success. He said, man, how'd you figure that out? I said, man, it's just, you got to think of where, you got to think like a deer. If a deer is coming across a field, you know, from the other side, and you're driving in the middle of that field, you're leaving all kind of scent right there.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets there, he's going to smell that. Somebody's been here or something's been here. I don't feel comfortable going any farther.
Yep, going to hold up or dip out.
Yeah, so I said, man, you just got to think like a deer. He said, man, that's cool. I said, man, trust me. I said, I used to be one of them guys that didn't care about scent, the wind, or nothing like that. But when you hear that deer blow at you,
you know,
times, you know, like, man, I know he ain't got my scent. Yep, sure does.
Hell yeah, he got it. And, you know, one thing that I learned to start doing is, like, really analyzing my game cam footage. Cause, like, you know, in the past, I would just like, just looking, just going through. Oh, that's a buck. Okay, just going through it. You know, kind of like I'm just, you know, just scrolling on YouTube, or whatever. And then there was 1 year. This was 3 years ago. We had a real bad drought. I'm talking like a bad drought, and like I would get no deer on any of my cameras. Except the one in the food plot. That's the only camera that I would get. I'm like, they had to walk by several cameras to get to this food plot. How am I not catching them? So I'm up one night. I'm having a couple drinks. and I'm looking at my game cam pictures, and I started looking at their feet, and I started noticing they had, like, on their hoof, like halfway up their leg, it was all black. And I'm like, what the hell? And I started going back to all my pictures, and I started noticing all the deer got this black stuff up their arm. So I'm like, So I finally go out to the farm and kind of start walking around. But where my food plot is or was, there was a creek that ran it. It split the property. So you go, if you're in the food plot, you walk up the hill and look over, and then there's a creek there. Well, we got a drought that year, so the creek has started to dry up. So now that creek has went from being a creek to now it's a deer highway, is what I called it. Because once I look down in that creek, dude, all you see is just hoof prints. So what they were doing is they're staying in that creek as long as possible, and then they walk up and get into the food plot, then boom, I get them on camera. So all my other cameras that were along the creek, it wasn't catching them because they was all taking that highway.
Mm-hmm.
This the more cover. So I'm like, all right, this makes sense now. So now I got a, and where my tree stand was, if I'm up in a tree, dude, they can see me, you know, as they walking down that creek, they got to come down, and so they would see me. Either they would see me, they catch my scent or something, like I'm not coming to the food plot. So if the wind was blowing down towards the creek, I just got on, I get on the other side and just wait. And that's when I started having success that year. I was like, okay, I think I got three that year. So I'm like, all right, I really got to start paying attention to my cameras. Cause like once I started looking at the pictures, I would see like they had the mud on their hooves. Then I started saying, okay, this deer is wet. We didn't get no rain. So they got to be coming, they're crossing the creek. So he's wet. Only reason he'd be wet. Or you see him, he got, you know, This deer walked into the camera. He got a corn stalk in his mouth. Okay, so he's coming from the cornfield that's north. So you start picking up stuff and putting pieces together. So like I tell guys, hey, don't just look at your game cam footage and look for antlers and then say, well, I'm good. Break it down like you're watching film for a football game.
Yep.
And you start having more success. You know, start paying attention to the time. Start paying attention to the moon phase. And I've even heard this old school cat. He told me, he goes, he kept a journal. He said, man, he goes, when I got in my like late 30s, I started keeping a journal of like, you know, if I had a camera out, I would say, okay, this deer was here at 5 o'clock. He'd go back and look at, you know, okay, 5 o'clock. What was the weather doing? What was the moon phase like? You know, temp. And he's looking at all that, and he puts stuff together. Okay, I killed this deer on November 13th. What was the weather doing that day? How did I walk into the stand? What did I notice? And when you start doing that, you start being more observant of what's going on. You know, how many hunters were in the field when I went out? You know, just pay attention to all that, and then, like I said, you start putting those little pieces together. Then you get this whole puzzle figured out, and then you start killing deer.
That's it, bro. Well, Dreaded Archer, ladies and gentlemen, once again.
Oh, yes, sir. Anytime, man. I love it.
Yeah, man. Make sure y'all tune in to the New Jack Archers page on Tuesday, April 22nd, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I can't say first annual because it's the first ever bow draft. Yeah, New Jack Archers.
The inaugural.
I don't know what it is because you can't say first annual if it's the first.
It's the first ever bow draft, the inaugural bow draft.
The bow draft. Like, it's going to be epic. Make sure y'all tune in. For sure. Make sure y'all go to Dreaded Archer's page on Instagram, Carby Media TV. He won an award for
Oh, yeah, best podcast best for 2024.
So hey, you got some content.
I can tell you now, the way this year is shaping out is I'm hoping to get the title again, because I would say my next three shows are going to be epic. But one of them it's going to set the hunting world on fire, put it that way.
Oh, you got with the guest or like
the guest, the topic, it's going to set the hunting world on fire. This podcast might make it it's going to grab the attention of everybody in the outdoor industry. That's how important this guest is.
That's dope. Well, I'll be tuned in, man. Make sure y'all tune in to Dreaded Archer. You got me thinking now. This man got Bo Jackson coming or somebody.
No. Bo Jackson will set the world on fire too, but this one is, it's
that's dope.
Just put this way, it's been 5 years in the making.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. Hold on. Actually, I'll tell you exactly how long it's been in the making. It's been 27 years in the making. 27 years in the making, this podcast.
Well, I'm interested now, so I'm about to have to tune in.
Hey.
But yeah, man. Y'all tune in to Carbon Media TV, Dreaded Archer, New Jack Archers for sure on Tuesday. Make sure y'all are there. Tell a friend.
Tune in, hop in the chat, talk. It's going to be fun. And you hop in the chat, and I might be giving some merchandise away just for people participating in the chat.
Yeah. You might give merchandise away that you'll never get, because he still owes me a t-shirt. So
I ain't sent you that shirt yet?
No, you ain't sent me that shirt.
I get it in the mail tomorrow. I get it in the mail. You need a 3X?
Yeah, 3X.
I got you.
Yeah, man. But here it is. Big game, small game, all game. We do this too. Out.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.